Hey, my name is Lauren Frieder, and my husband Drew and I are lead pastors at Lift Church. We are on the eastern shore of Maryland. We want to thank you so much for joining us today, and we are believing that you will get a lift of encouragement.
Hey, we're so glad that you've stayed with us and joined us online, Facebook Live, and on our website to be with us. And I truly believe that this is one of the most important decisions that you can make on a Sunday morning, even throughout the whole week. And that is just to spend some time worshiping God and getting into God's Word, because this is life to us, and it lifts our soul. It will literally lift your whole week. I found that to be true in my life and so many others' lives who have been chatting with and communicating with, and God said that He brings truth and life to us. And so if you hadn't been with us the last 2 weeks, we're in week three of a series called Sacred Moments. And what that is we're just exploring Jesus's final week as he enters the Passion Week, his final week of his life. When he started it, he entered the city of Jerusalem, which we know from things that he talked about, that the moment he sets foot in Jerusalem, it begins a ticking time bomb for his life. He is going to be crucified before it's all said and done. And so now he has entered Jerusalem of his own will, of his own desire. He knows that the crucifixion's coming. And so he's sharing more and more about what's going to happen with him as he finishes this week out. We're in our third sacred moment, and this one is going to focus on the Mount of Olives. In Luke chapter 19, it reads this way. After telling this story, Jesus went on towards Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. And as they came to the towns of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. He said, "Go into that village over there," he told them, "and as you enter it, you will see a colt tied there that has never been ridden." He said he picked two disciples, and he didn't say who it was, but I just like to take the liberty to insert two of them because it helps me personalize it. I got to believe Thaddeus and Simon were the two sent. Not Simon Peter, but the forgotten Simon, the other one, the one that anytime someone says Simon, two people looked up and they always went, "Not you, I'm talking about the other one." So probably Thaddeus, who no one remembers, and Simon, who's always forgotten. Maybe this was their mission, I don't know. But let's say it's Thaddeus and Simon. He said, "As you enter this city, you will see a colt there that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you what you're doing, just say, 'The Lord has need of it.'" And I believe this is the point where Thaddeus probably interrupted Jesus and said, "Come on, bro. Who's going to let us just take their donkey? Who's going to let us just ride it? All we got to do is give them the secret word, 'The Lord has need of it.'" And he's thinking, this probably is not going to work. I mean, we don't think it'll work, right? Have you ever given consideration to just rolling up in someone's front yard, getting in their BMW and trying to drive away with it? And oh, if they ask, just go, "Hey, the Lord has need of it." Right. So I bet these two disciples may have been skeptical, but it says in verse 32, "So they went and found the colt, just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, 'Hey, what are you untying my colt? Why are you untying my colt?'" I bet this is the point where Simon and Thaddeus are going, "Oh my gosh, this is not going to work. This is not going to work." And the disciples simply replied, "The Lord has need of it." And it worked. The very next sentence doesn't say anything about a scuffle or a dispute. It says in verse 35, "So they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their garments over it for him to ride on." You know, I get so excited about this portion of scripture. This is celebrating Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday would have been the day that Jesus started that ticking time bomb. He walked into Jerusalem, and this is how he was going to do it. He was going to do it riding on a donkey. These are things that the prophet Zechariah and Isaiah had described would happen, and now it's coming to pass. But the first things first, we need Thaddeus and we need the other Simon to go get this donkey so that Jesus comes. And we know from the story that as Jesus rides this donkey, that the people begin to lay down palm branches. They begin to scream and praise. They begin to shout their praises. They yell out blessings. They yell out peace, peace. They yell out Hosanna, Hosanna. And Hosanna means save us, save us. And so they're yelling out to this Messiah riding on a donkey. And the religious folk, they get all up in arms and they're like, hey, Jesus, you hear what they're shouting. Make them stay quiet. Shut them up. And I love what Jesus says. He says, if they don't cry out, the rocks will begin to cry out in worship towards me. And I just want to encourage you during this time of isolation and quarantining and doing church in our pajamas on our couch. I just want to encourage you, maybe you're even at work doing church, just live stream. Don't be ashamed to set the tone for your home when it comes to worship. I love that the people just began to cry out. They began to shout to Jesus, worship and praise, Hosanna, blessings, Hosanna in the highest, peace, the King of Kings has arrived, He is here. And I just want to encourage you, set the tone in your home. It might be awkward, it might be uncomfortable, but my wife and I will actually get up. We'll raise our hands and we'll find our little ones peeking over to see what's going on. This is a great opportunity to worship in front of your family and to worship in front of your friends. And let them see that you're not scared to cry out, because if we don't do it, if we stay silent in this time, the rocks will cry out. We're silent enough being isolated. I am not going to have my Savior worshiped by some rock better than me. And so I just want to encourage you, set the tone for your home when it comes to worship. We're going to be doing that next week, setting the tone for our home as we celebrate Easter. And we are so hoping that you'll join us and you'll tell your friends to come join us. Yes, we may be in our home, but we can still celebrate the King of Kings from our home. And so this morning, I want to preach to you a message, Sacred Moments Part 3, and I call it, It's Time to Identify with the Donkey. It's time to identify with the donkey. If someone else is in the room, say, come on, we're going to be donkeys. Good. Let's pray. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you speak to us even through donkeys, and you've done it numerous times, and even in the Bible, and here is no exception, God. I pray that we all are able to get into the donkey's shoes, better put, to put into their heels, colts, whatever it is, their legs. God, I thank you. You know how to make sense of my prayer. But God, I pray that we all identify with the donkey, that we would learn some things and some truths that settle us, that worship you, and that help us take our next steps on our journey with you. You're a good God and you're worth it. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You know, as I read this story, I look and I see that there are really four cult callings that are happening. These are callings that I see from the tied up cult that I believe can apply to you and I. And I'd like to see it happening in my life first. I'd love to see it happening in your life as well. And so I've been chewing on this, and I invite you to take some notes and write this down with me as we look at four cult callings that God is offering to us. And let me start first with what it says in verse 29 and 30. It says, Jesus sent two disciples ahead. Go into that village over there, and as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ridden before. Number one is this: be where you're supposed to be. Be where you're supposed to be. You know, when I think about Jesus telling Thaddeus and the other Simon what to do and where to go and what they'll find, it really tells me two things about Jesus. And this I want you to know about our God. Number one is this: He knows where you're at. I mean, think about it. If He knows where the donkey's at, then surely He knows where you're at. And a lot of times we can think, Pastor, You don't know where I'm at. I'm too in it. I'm in over my head. I'm too deep in it. God would not approve of where I'm at. And I just want to tell you, God's already aware of where you're at. If he knows how to care for the sparrows, surely he knows how to care for you. If he knows where a donkey's at, surely he knows where you're at. And so our God knows where we're all at. And it's no coincidence, I believe, that you're here watching this right now. God knows where you're at, and he's speaking to you even right now through a device. And it also tells me this, the second thing, that the donkey had to stay where he should have been. God knew where the donkey was at, but the donkey had to choose to stay and to be planted so he would be where he's supposed to be when God came looking for him. And see, sometimes we can get restless in our walks and we could be where we're not supposed to be, or we can wander from where we're supposed to be. But we need to be, our faith is like an anchor that is anchored behind the veil of the curtain. What that means is just, that's what one scripture says, and that just means I keep myself rooted and planted in the house of God. I keep myself planted in the Word of God because I need this Word everywhere that I go. And I'm not going to wander far from it. See, write this down. The secret to seizing your divine moment is to be in the spots where God expects you. Let me say that again. The secret to seizing your divine moments and living your best life and going on the greatest adventure, the secret to seizing your divine moments is to be in the spots that God expects me to be. See, you got to be where you're supposed to be. You know, it was a little over 11 years now that my wife and I, we had just had our youngest daughter, and she was only a month or two old when God had called us to move from Louisiana to Maryland. And many times when we moved, a lot of people would ask this question, do you miss Louisiana? And there's a lot of things that I miss. I loved my family. I still do. I love my friends. Still do. I love the food. But one thing that I learned is I've got to be where God wants me to be. And I might not have heard an audible voice, but I was where I was supposed to be with authority. Scripture says with the multitude of counsel, we can walk in the wisest ways. And so I asked all of my counsel. I was under authority. They had told me earlier that an earlier opportunity wasn't a great opportunity. And this time I was where I was supposed to be then, and I was where I was supposed to be this time as well, because this time they said, it's time to go. God's got a plan for you and Lauren in Maryland. And I knew when we left, I was leaving my support system. I mean, sure, my wife had family here, but I knew that on my hardest days, I could say this about my life. I am where I believe God wants me to be. And that's what I want you to have too. On your hardest days, can you say, I am where I am supposed to be? See, here's the question to ask yourself right now. Am I where he wants me? Let's talk about that spiritually. Spiritually, am I where he wants me? You know, the disciples would often tell their followers that, you've been drinking the milk like a baby for too long. It's time for you to move on to steak and eggs. And see, that means that spiritually, I can't stay in the same place. I shouldn't be where I was a year ago. I definitely shouldn't be where I was 2 years ago. So if you've been walking with the Lord for a certain amount of time, the question is, am I spiritually where I'm supposed to be? You know, when you just give your life to the Lord, you're not expected to have the whole Bible memorized. Most of us don't have it memorized even after 10, 20 years of walking with him, but we know more than we knew last year, and we are positioning ourselves more and more. This is even most important. We're becoming more intimate and open and trusting of our God. He was good last year. He's going to be good this year. 2020 doesn't look anything like 2019, but he was good to me then, and I can trust him that the same God who was good to me yesterday is the same God today and forevermore. And so am I where I'm supposed to be spiritually? I want to be there. Am I where I'm supposed to be relationally? Have I let go of relationships I have no business keeping around? Or has my relationships gone beyond the boundary that they have no place to be? So am I where I'm supposed to be relationally? Come on, we all get tempted in all kinds of ways. That doesn't make you inhumane or crazy to be tempted, but it does make you need to be aware. Am I where I am supposed to be relationally? Even with my parents, or even parenting, am I where I'm supposed to be? This COVID time is helping us slow down and see things that we might have taken for granted. Are you where you're supposed to be relationally? Even as a spouse, even as a citizen of heaven in this city, am I where I am supposed to be right now? And then finally, am I physically where I'm supposed to be? You know, sometimes I gotta take a self-check. Can I do the things God asks me to do when He asks me to do them? Am I where I'm supposed to be? You know, I feel like right now we could really just all stop, settle our hearts, and ask God that right now, honestly and truthfully. And I believe the Holy Spirit will speak to you even right now. Let's just stop for a moment. God, am I where I'm supposed to be? Ask God that right now. Am I where I'm supposed to be? Isn't God good? For some, He might have just challenged you that here's where we can go. I know where you're at. I knew where the donkey was at. I know where you're at. I'm not mad at you, but here's where we can go. And for others, I believe you actually heard the Holy Spirit approve of you and just say, you're right where I wanted you to be. God's not mad at you. And many times people think they are. God was not mad at the donkey, and God could use the donkey. I want to tell you as a church what we're doing. Even Lift Church, we have tried to position ourselves to financially be where God wants us to be so that in any season we can always say yes to serving the city and being a lift to the city. So guess what we're doing this week? I want to encourage you. Thank you for your continued generosity to Lift Church for those who have given. Here's what we're doing. We have always committed to giving 10% or more away of anything that we get. And so when you give, you are a part of this. This week, we are writing a check for $1,500 to Halo to take care of the homeless in our city. They are hurting right now. And oftentimes the homeless are the group of people that are often forgotten quickly or forgotten swiftly. And somebody's got to care. In Matthew 25, God says, for when I was hungry, you fed me. And so we are going to help provide continued shelter that Halo has been providing and food for the homeless in the city. They feed those who are currently bunking at the homeless shelter, and they also feed people outside the homeless shelter who show up and need a meal. Also, we're going to be sending out some gift baskets this week for medical providers. We're even sending a meal this weekend. It probably already hit them by now that we're sending a meal to the COVID unit of PRMC to feed the staff and be a lift to them, just to say thank you that you have been where God wants you to be, caring for His hurt and ill people in a way that a lot of us can't do. If you're a healthcare provider, I want to tell you, Lift Church has been lifting you up and we believe in you. Thank you for being where God has called you to be. That's number one. Be where God's called you to be. Here's number two. Look at what scripture says that He told Thaddeus and the other Simon, as you enter that city, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one's ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. It's interesting that God wants him to untie it first. Number two is this: get untied, freed up, and loosed. Get untied, freed up and loosed. Come on. It is time for you to shake off the shackles. It's time for you to get free from some of the things that have been holding you back. It's time to get rid of that pesky sin that's just been hanging around. It's time to quit living in the old ways and come into the new ways. It's time for me to get free and to get untied, get freed up and loosed so that God can use me. Oh, come on. I used to be in a touring band and, I used to live my life because there was a man that I respected who once told me this. He said, "You'll never amount to anything." He was mad at me because I didn't do what he wanted me to do. And as we departed, he said, "Who do you think you are? You'll never amount to anything." And that drove me to need this like approval from men. Like it didn't matter if it was my boys in the band or if it was someone I deemed respected in my eyes or so much further along than me in the music industry. And it drove me into sin. I got into relationships I had no business belonging to impress the boys. We were doing all kinds of dumb things. And it was, and I needed to get freed up and loosed from that. I searched for approval in all the wrong places. But oh, I'm here to tell you, come on, I'm feeling Pentecostal right now. Oh, I'm here to tell you, I found my freedom only in Him. See, no one knows how to loose you like Jesus. Jesus told them, when you find that donkey, when you get to that colt, here's what I'm calling you to do. Untie that thing. Loose it up because I'm about to use it. See, some people would say, it's because it is COVID, I'm all wound up tight. Come on, I've been in my house way too long. I'm getting antsy. I'm getting overwhelmed. I'm all bound up. And I want to tell you, ain't no problem for Jesus. Come on. There's this throwback song that I know some of our saints who've been rolling with Jesus for a while, they would know it. And it goes, "Can't nobody do me like Jesus." Come on. We should sing that right now. Go ahead, Andre Crouch. Kick it up. Let's keep going. Kick it up. Ain't nobody do me like that.
Daddy, that's what you told me when I was little boy. Can't nobody
do me like Jesus.
Do me like the Lord.
Do me like the
Lord. Can't nobody
do me like Jesus.
He's my friend.
Come on. Well, He's my friend. And Proverbs says that there ain't no better person to learn from than a friend, a close friend. And if Jesus is my friend, I'd rather learn how to get freed up, changed up, molded up, shaped up by my closest friend, the one who loves me and who does it gently. We sing a song called Sweetly Broken, Wholly Surrendered. I love that about Jesus. He always sweetly shapes us. We're just the clay and He's molding us into His image. So here's what you can do. Trust Him more with your heart today. Would you lean into Him a little bit more? Trust Him to untie you. And then, like the donkey, choose to walk towards Jesus. Trust Him. He's untying you, but He's untying you for a purpose. One of the best places to get untied is to join one of our small groups because people are getting untied left and right. Thank you for the praise reports. They are pouring in about people getting tied up and bound in anxiety. And then my small group met on Zoom or Google Hangouts and I got freed up from that and I'm feeling like a new person. Listen, get untied, loosed and freed up. Number three. Jesus says, as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied up that no one has ever ridden. And that leads me to ask the question, what qualifications do you have to have for Jesus to use you? And this is the answer, purity. Purity. So number three, protect your purity. This donkey was untested, never ridden, never touched, untainted, pure. It didn't know much about driving or riding someone on its back, but that was not what God called the pre-qualification to being used. You don't have to have all kinds of degrees and all kinds of stuff to be used. You don't have to have walked with God for X amount of years or have read the whole Bible through three times before you can be used. That's not the qualifications. Here's the qualification. Protect your purity. He was untainted, untouched, pure. He hadn't been shaped incorrectly by a rough rider. He hadn't been wounded or beaten by the wrong rider. He was pure. And come on, in this season, we can have idle hands. And many of us know the cliche, idle hands are the devil's workshop. And I just want to tell you right now, stay away from the temptations that try to attack your purity. What do you need to be used by God? Purity. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? He with clean hands and a pure heart. See, listen, I know porn has tried to slip its way into some of your lives. Young men, older men, listen to me. Even ladies, listen to me. Don't give in to the temptations of sexual immorality in this season. You got to protect your purity. See, this donkey had to stay unridden and stay put where it belonged, even when he watched all the other donkeys running around, playing in the yard. They're going to have fun. They're just acting amok. But guess what? This donkey stayed put and protected its purity. And guess who Jesus chose to ride through the parade of all parades throughout all of history? This donkey. Because his purity had been protected. Come on. I know many of us are getting overwhelmed with anxiety. Protect your purity. Protect your peace. Some of us are slipping into gossip because what else am I going to do except talk about Susie down the road? And I can't believe she's going out again and they're supposed to be staying home. They ain't listening to the government or authority, which by the way, you should. But I'm telling everybody and their mama because I'm just wanting to gossip. No. Protect your mouth, protect your purity, and be who God wants you to be, where He wants you to be, when He's looking for you, because I want you to seize your divine opportunity. We are in the middle of a divine interruption, and I want you to seize everything God has got for you and me in this time. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." Come on. Who doesn't want their strength, the strength of heaven coming on their side? Who doesn't want that? See, listen, in the Old Testament, the priests always had to be set apart. And when they were set apart, the strength of heaven was on their shoulders. And this donkey was set apart. Tell your neighbor right now, it's time to identify with the donkey. It's time to identify, man. Don't get anxious and move. Don't go chasing other donkeys. I know those donkeys down the road are doing something different, but you protect your purity. Tell somebody, don't go chasing the donkeys. Chase after God. Protect your purity. So let me ask you, what is tempting you to move right now? What is tempting you to leave your place of purity? Get that junk off of you and stay where God wants you. And I close with this. Number 4, scripture says in verse 31, "If anyone asks why you are untying the colt, just say, 'The Lord has need of it.'" Come on, say that with me. The Lord has need of it. Say it with me. The Lord has need of it. Write this down. Number 4, the Lord has need of you. The Lord has need of you. You might say right now, "Who, me? I'm a screw up. I'm frequently a failure." No, I'm here to tell you, the Lord has need of you. Why do you think He's got you listening right now? Because something in your spirit is saying, lean into this. Listen to this. This is God's words, not Pastor Drew's words. This is His. And He says this, the Lord has need of you. He's got need of, number 1, you, your heart, your passions, your abilities, your gifts. Come on. The way God's wired you is not by mistake. You have unique abilities. You are uniquely you because the Lord has need of you. He doesn't need you to be me. He doesn't need you to be Pastor JT or Mary or Lauren or anyone else. He needs you to be you. And the Lord has need of you the way that you are. Walking in step with Him, becoming more like Him, God has need of you. How can you give Him your gifts, your passions, your abilities? That's why I love our dream team. They give over their gifts. Some love to press in and prayer, and boy, are they moving heaven right now in this season. Some know how to play guitars and sing. know, some know how to greet and be hospitable. Some know how to just love people well. They care or they give and they serve. And I love that. The Lord has need of you. Number two, the Lord has need of your stuff. Are we going to live life tight-fisted or open-handed? My wife and I, it was never even a question in this time whether we were going to continue to tithe and be generous, because now more than ever, God needs it, His house needs it, and we believe that the church is the hope for humanity. And this is a time to be dealing some hope, baby. And so we're going to do that. Even as a church, we decided as a board and a staff, it was a no-brainer. We will not retreat to tight fist and holding on to what we got in fear. We will step out in faith, and we will continue to be the hope, because if God hath need of our stuff, then He can use it, baby. We want that to be true of us. And so finally, can He also use your purpose? Can your life be used by Him? Can He use you and your spouse? Can He use your kids? Or will I be controlling and handsy because I want to keep it for me? Or can I say, if the Lord has need of it, I'm going to trust. You know, we can so often with our kids' destinies try to hold on tight to it, but I want to be prepared that if God wants to send them, Lord, my prayer is that you don't send them away from me, but if He has need of them, I want to be ready to live open-handed and celebrating all that He's doing. Come on, my wife's probably like, come on, don't you say that. I'm praying they stay here. But if He has need of it, are we going to be willing to give and to be that way? So I have this question. Will I be the type of cult willing to change my pace and my place if the Lord has need of me? Come on, will you be that type of cult? Identify with the donkey right now and be the type who will change my pace and place whenever the Lord has need of me. Let me conclude with this. Verse 35 says this. So they brought the colt to Jesus for Him to ride on. All of this life, all of this faith, it's really just for Jesus to ride in on us so that we can be in the middle of a parade where people see who we're carrying, and that is Jesus. Jesus is the one they've hoped for, the one that they're crying out, save us to. I want to carry Jesus into every single minute of my life, and I want you to as well. So listen, we can be freed up. We can be His. And I want to pray for you right now. God, as we're identifying with the donkey, as we're hearing the four callings of the colt, God, I pray right now that we embrace them right now. I pray over your people that you would find them where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be it. And Father, when you find them there, free them up in the name of Jesus. I'm feeling it right now that you free them up even right on their couch, right in their bed, right at their workplace. Free them up right now, that they would be loosed of the chains, the setbacks, the holdbacks, that those condemning words that the devil has spoken over them, that they'll never be, they'll always never be, they'll never measure up. Free them of those condemning thoughts right now, that their mind would be loosed and set free so that they can be freed up to carry the name of Jesus everywhere they go. Father, I pray that you would protect the purity of your people, that you would bind up immorality, sexual immorality. Porn, you must go. You cannot take our men. You cannot take our women. You cannot take our children in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray the gossip would be slain right now, Father, that we would use our tongues to bring life for you in this season. And Father, as you have need of us, find us ready to be used and to carry you in Jesus' name. And I conclude with the priestly blessing. Father, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face continue to shine upon you. May He continue to be gracious to you. And may He flood you with peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before we go, you might be one of those people who said, Pastor Drew, I'm not in the right place for God to find me. It was maybe even just this week. You know you screwed up. You haven't been able to tell your parents. You haven't been able to tell your spouse. You haven't been able to tell your kids. You certainly aren't going to tell anybody else. But right now, God knows where you're at. And if you're not where you're supposed to be, I want to tell you, you don't have to live out of the will of God. You can ask God to come into your life. Let Jesus be the Lord and Savior, and He will restore your purity. Whatever was stolen or lost or given away, He will restore to you right now. All you have to do is just allow God to come into your life. Pray a simple prayer like this after me. Everyone together, let's pray. Jesus, come into my life. I have screwed up, I have sinned, and now I need a Savior. I thank you for Jesus, who lived and died a perfect life and died for my sin. I receive freedom from sin, the washing away of my sin and past because of the blood spilt on Calvary. I celebrate you, Jesus. I ask you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I give you the keys to my life. You call the shots. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you just prayed that prayer, you can be assured that if you were to die right now, you would end up in heaven. And if you'll continue to walk in step with Jesus, obeying His voice and allowing Him to call the shots, guess what? You don't have to fear hell. You can know heaven's my future reality. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, we want to connect with you. Click on the chat bar, whichever side it's on. Right now, there will be a link to let you know how to connect with us. Tell us about your decision. Don't stay in isolation about this decision. And we just want to reach out to you and help you take your next steps with Jesus. Thanks for joining us. We're going to see you real soon.